Hello everyone. Welcome to the fourth episode of Finding Surya. As usual, it's me Aniruddin along with my friend and collaborator Ramana Krishnan. Okay. Today we will be discussing the psychological significance of the different planets and a concept known as exaltation and dehabilitation. As we discussed in the previous episode about lordship of the planets, this is something which carries the concept further. Also, to recap, Ramana had asked a lot about free will and destiny in astrology in the previous podcast, which we will be covering now. It's intricately linked to the conception of exaltation, dehabilitation, etc. And that is something which we will carry on. Welcome, Ramana. And
thank you, Anil. Sounds exciting. Let's jump right in.
Okay. So first, as I mentioned, we had discussed something called the lordship of the planets, and we had shown you the algorithm by which the lordship of the planets were determined. So broadly, except for the sun and the moon, the five major grahas or planets as we use them in astrological terminology, they own two rashis each. Okay, so these are considered to be ownerships, and there are certain characteristics of that. Each Rashi, each planet is also considered to be exalted or at its fullest potential in one particular Rashi. It's also considered to be debilitated or at its weakest potential in another Rashi.
I'm sorry, but that's a lot of big words that you've suddenly thrown around. So let's just take a step back. And if you can just briefly also recap the context of these Rashis and the planets in the context of, say, the birth time that we had spoken about, and we had broadly talked about how it differs by each minute. I mean, each minute can also create a different Rashi and so on, right? So maybe if you can just come from that context.
Okay. Ramana, that's a lot of detail. What we can do is we've discussed some level of the Lagna, if you remember, right? You remember the concept of Lagna last time? Okay.
Yes.
We'd spoken of how it varies at a very low proportion level. So that is the topic when you spoke of, when you're talking of things varying by the minute. This is specifically a property of the psychological significance of each particular planet. Okay. We'll get into it. You told me that exaltation and debilitation, they sound like big words. We've discussed lordship the previous time. I will elaborate in detail in this episode on what that means. Okay, so we will start with the first planet, the sun. Okay, it's considered to own Leo. Okay, and it's supposed to be exalted in Aries and debilitated in Libra. Now, I shall talk in detail about what this means. Its natural property, right, in Leo, the sun is all considered to be I, the ahankar in its most basic level, right? That is something which says, I'm the one who can show light in this particular situation. Okay, so that basic tendency is considered, the ego tendency, the I tendency is considered to be the sun. Okay, it is also considered to be at a level, at a certain level, if you're more aware of yourself, it could represent the spirit or the Atman within you. Okay, we shall now take it at a day-to-day ordinary human level, we shall take it as the ego. Okay, we will go to what happens when the sun is exalted. In Leo, it is like a king commanding everyone to take, to do their job. Okay, it's like a king. Okay. It is all about when you assert yourself, right? Or when you say, call someone an idiot, for example. You're essentially saying, hey, I know more than this particular person. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And also, it's a certain rejection of everything which is not you. Okay. You're saying that I am not this. So this is dumb. Okay. If you notice that, that is the sun at Leo. When you go to exaltation of sun in Aries, right, it is all about your identity is yourself, not ego. It is you are yourself. Okay, you just are. Okay, what do I mean by you just are? Yeah, tell me, Ramana.
So would it be fair to think of one way to be showing in a positive way and another to be in a negative way? Would that be a too simplistic an interpretation?
You're asking me if I should show it in a positive or
No. I'm asking whether, basically, in the context of ego, the example that you had showcased, that seemed to carry a certain negative connotation to me. Whereas in the other example that you have shown, that's more about ego from a sense of, or rather, that's more about knowledge of yourself sort of a thing, which seems to be a positive attribute.
Okay.
Would that be a correct interpretation of this in terms of positive and negative effect?
Okay. It's like it's more developed. Let's put it that way. Instead of saying something like it's like a difference between a child and an adult, though that's not a precise analogy. Okay. It is all about something which is evolved to a higher state where it's more aware of itself. When do you feel the need to lash out? When you're at a basic level of Sun in Leo, right? Okay. It's like you can't stand things which are not you. But in Sun in Aries, you're able to visualize, you're able to be truth. Okay. And you acknowledge the truth of others. Okay. Every individual is a truth in their own way, right? So you're able to acknowledge the truth of others. And that's how I would mean by the Sun in Aries, where you're independent and the other person is independent. A different symbolic analogy would be that think of a king and a warrior. Okay. A king is dependent on others to carry out his work, right? He's given the authority, the status, the entitlement, but all he can do is he can order around.
Right.
Okay. But a warrior is independent in himself or her, him or her, but and can carry out, do his own thing. Okay. So it is the independence of an individual. Okay. The Sun is the individual principle, and the individual principle is highest at Sun in Aries. We now come to the weakest position.
Sorry, the exalted state is the more evolved state, right?
It is the more
and
evolved
the debilitated state. One is the less evolved one, right?
It's the weaker state, yeah. It's even weaker than the king. So we've spoken of king and warrior. We now come to the state where your identity is not there with you. You don't have a sense of independent identity at all. Okay. It's like you're dependent specifically on every interaction around you, every personalization around you. That's where your identity, something which defines you, is not there on its own. Okay. Libra is all about connections. I mean, personalizing. See, can you personalize your identity itself for the other person? Okay. No, right? It's difficult, right? You feel a sense of invalidation because the ego is a thing which gives you a sense of validity. Okay? And in Libra, it becomes, you don't feel as valid, you feel invalidated. That is why it is considered a sign of debilitation. Now, Ramana, we'll come back to this topic of free will, etc. When you're initiating an action, right? You are the one initiating the action. Would you say that's a fair description of the concept of free will?
Yes. I think so.
Okay. So it is you as a will who wants to be independent and act out. Okay. So that is the identity. When you've identified with the Sun of Aries, when you've identified with the Sun in Aries, it means that you've identified with the will. Okay. And we'll now come to the next part. Now, what is the... We discussed lordships, right, of Aries also. Okay. Just to recollect it, Aries is owned by the planet Mars. Okay. Now, what is the significance of the Mars and this free will at this particular point in time? Okay. So, we have, on the one hand, we have Sun, which is the independent ego, which is exalted in Aries when you're identified with my action alone. What I have initiated, I'm identified with that. Okay. But the action works within a certain system, right? You can't do all actions all the time. There are certain constraints around action.
Right?
Right. So you are the one identified with your action, but your action faces certain constraints. Okay. It's not a negation of free will, but... Now, we are applying the same exaltation, debilitation principle to Mars. Mars is exalted in Capricorn. Okay. Capricorn Rashi is all about systems, hierarchy, constraints. Okay. And is all about how energy can be channelized. So now if you're someone who's driving your objectives in work and moving towards a promotion, right? You are channelizing energy within the given constraints of the system. You still have your free will, but you're directing it within the system in which the action is operating. Correct? Like, if I'm on Earth, there are certain constraints on my action, no matter what. As a human, there are certain constraints on my action. Okay? If I'm an evolved person with a sun in Aries, but I still can I visualize all of the constraints all the time? If I'm an executive, can I know all the constraints all the time? We don't understand it, right? If we are still operating as an independent individual, we wonder why we don't have the energy to do what we want to do. That's when people start thinking of the concept of fate, etc., right? They believe that some higher power is maybe oppressing them or something when they feel they're not able to act independently, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm saying what it requires is as you become more aware, you understand that the system in which you're operating has its constraints. Okay, so it is more of, it's not fate exactly, but it's rather there are certain constraints within all of the systems that you're operating in. Okay, you are an independent individual, particularly if you're evolved and you've understood it. Okay, but your action has certain limitations. Even in thermodynamics, if you were to remember, there is something as a closed system. Right?
Right.
Okay, so the system which is works within certain limitations, if we become aware of the limitations, then we have the ability to channelize our energies within that and we don't face the sense of fatalism, etc. Okay, now why do we feel the sense of fatalism? We come next to Saturn. Okay, we now come to Saturn, the owner of Capricorn. Okay, Saturn is all about striving, putting across efforts. It's not about constraints, but rather something outside us. If Sun, as I said, is all about will, right? Okay, identifying, being independent individuals. Saturn is the things that we do for the outer world. We notice a clear distinction between the inner and outer world, right? Okay, and that distinction is what Saturn is, how we adapt to the environment around us. Okay, so now coming to Saturn, Saturn is exalted in Libra. Okay, while Sun is the weakest in Libra. So what I'm saying is, while we can't personalize our ego to each and every person, we can't personalize our will to each and every situation and context. Okay, Libra, as I mentioned earlier, is a sign of personalization and context. What we can do is, if Saturn is exalted in Libra, it shows that we have the ability to comply with each situation and as it's personalized. Comply is a strong word actually. It's rather Saturn gives us the acceptance and the forbearance or the prudence even to act in a manner by which we flow across in every situation. Okay, we are able to personalize, right? When we are able to interact with another person, okay, and we are able to personalize it according to them, to their interaction, that's when we are adapting. And we don't feel invalidated because of the adaption, right? It is just very practical of us to do it. Saturn is all about being practical. Okay, we've covered three planets now. Okay, we've covered the depletion property also of Sun in detail. We'll now cover the properties of Mars and of Saturn in some more detail. Okay, Mars is actually considered to be the energy. Okay, it is supposed to be, it's considered the planet of energy. It is something which drives across. Mars owns Scorpio and Aries. Okay, it owns two Rashis, unlike the Sun, which owns only one Rashi. Okay, Mars in Scorpio is all about our instincts, right? Our battle, our instinct to survive. It is something which we are not aware of. Okay, it is our instincts which guide us in many ways, but it's all about our instincts about a particular situation is Mars in Scorpio. Mars in Aries is when we are independent individuals, okay, it is the action which we initiate. While Sun is the will and the identity, Mars is all about the actions we initiate as individuals. Okay, so we will something, but the energy for it, the outwardly directed energy, is all about Mars. Okay, and as mentioned earlier, Mars is exalted in Capricorn, where you know how to channelize and direct the energies. Okay, Mars is debilitated in Cancer. Okay, Cancer Rashi, owned by the Moon. Okay, Cancer is all about rhythms. Okay, it means that we become very emotional about it. See, even emotional rhythms have an ebb and a flow, right? Take about women's period cycles, or low tide and high tide of the oceans, or you take the simple waning and waxing of the moon. These are stable emotional rhythms which happen automatically. Okay, there's no need for a energy driven process there. Okay, our will becomes too rhythmized and it becomes unaware, right? It becomes a mechanical automatic thing rather than a driven objective across. Okay, so that is why the Mars energy is debilitated in Cancer. Okay, we come to Saturn. Okay, Saturn is owns Capricorn and Aquarius and is exalted in Libra. In Capricorn, Saturn is all about the constraint, the rules, the discipline, all of that comes under Saturn. Okay, it is the most structured Rashi, it is the Rashi of structure. It is the Rashi of structure in the entire cosmos. When we come to Aquarius, right, Saturn shows it's all about society, all about interactions, all about flow and change. Okay, Saturn is all about flow and change when it comes to Aquarius. It's all about networks, building, connecting, etc. Okay, we come to exaltation of Saturn, where I said that earlier it's all about something external, right? It is somewhat static when it is in Capricorn, right? Saturn, when it comes to systems and all. It becomes a little more dynamic when it comes to Aquarius. It is able to connect things still at an external level. But when it comes to Libra, we consciously make efforts to adjust to other people. Okay, we are independent individuals because of our sun, but we also know how to accommodate other people because of Saturn. We are able to be dynamic in using Saturn in Libra, a planet which is the stablest planet. Okay, it's the biggest, I mean the stablest planet in the solar system. Its stability, and it helps us to endure as well as to personalize. It gives a sense of discipline and of fortitude, perseverance. All these are qualities associated with Saturn in Libra. Okay, we've covered three planets now. The next planet we'll cover is the Moon. Okay, as mentioned, the Moon owns Cancer Rashi. It is exalted in Taurus and it's debilitated in Scorpio. Okay. The Cancer, like I mentioned, is the sign of rhythms, natural rhythms, women's rhythms, nurturing, motherhood, high tide and low tide, waxing and waning phases of the moon. All of this is represented by Cancer. So rhythms which help us feel stable, secure and comfortable. Quite literally, the mother's womb is Cancer, okay, where we feel protected. Okay. The moon is all about protection, all about gentleness, and all about nurturing and guiding, okay, in Cancer. Okay. But there's a certain reality, external reality associated with it, right? All about groupthink, all about, it's not independent, right? All of these things which I talked about is how nature protects us in Cancer. Something external to us is protecting. Why does Cancer become exalted in Taurus? Once our mind, right? The best word, Sanskrit word called manas is there, right? Sense mind, as they call it. That is the best word to describe what the moon is. It is the thing which makes sense of all of what our senses, information given to us by our sense organs. Okay, like the five sense organs, right? Touch, taste, hearing, sight, okay, and touch, taste, hearing, sight, and speech. Okay, so all of this is the five senses which takes in and the mind gives us all of this information. Now, this becomes exalted in Tauruses. We are not looking for society or an external developing or our norms to give us, make sense of the world. We directly are taking in information from the world and we are perceiving it. Okay, that is why Moon is exalted in Taurus. Okay, it is debilitated in Scorpio because Scorpio is all about our instincts, our inner energies, and how we live, our physiological processes. Okay, why the Moon is debilitated is it is trying to make sense of the physiological processes which run on their own rhythm, which don't run on rhythms per se. Okay, they run based on what we would call maybe even karma, for a lack of a better word, or our energy. We have a certain energy which we are born with, okay? And that energy is what is powering all of our physiological processes, okay? The Moon is debilitated because it does not look at these physiological processes in terms, it's trying to make sense of physiological processes which have no sense. It is externally directed, but in Scorpio, it tries to become internally directed. That's why it is debilitated in Scorpio. Okay. The last planet which we will cover for today is Venus. Okay. Venus is the planet of desire, sensual desire, of being accommodative. In the highest state in Pisces, it's all about the transcendent reality. Okay. Now, these sound very confusing and conflicting, right? Okay, that's why Venus is a little tricky that way. We'll start with the Rashis which Venus owns. It owns Taurus, which is, like I mentioned before, the ability, the senses, right? Okay, so Venus is what controls the senses, gives us the different desires, if you will, gives us our tastes, our birth, our prejudice, our inheritance. All of this comes from Venus. In the second, and the second Rashi, right? Taurus is the second Rashi. All of this comes from Venus. It also owns Libra, the seventh Rashi, which is all about being dynamic in terms of personalizing. The pleasure of socialization, right? Or of a relationship. All of that is given by Venus in Libra. But when we are able to direct our pleasure upwards, right? Towards the highest spiritual state with us, yes, interestingly, Venus is also known as Shukra, and it is considered to be the sex essence present in man. Okay, and the sex essence, when it is directed outward in sex, it is considered to be Libra. Okay, but that's why Indian yogis talk of the process by which they are able to direct their sexual energy towards the highest consciousness. Okay. They call it samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, etc. But when they're able to redirect this energy upwards towards the transcendent plane, it has become Shukra in Pisces. Okay. Pisces is the transcendent sign of transcendent reality, of the dream world, of worlds beyond human conception. All of that comes within the Piscean Rashi. And it is Venus, our body sense, our energy, our sexual energies, which are traditionally, in the Indian view, which can be transmitted towards this end of being one with the transcendent reality. Okay, so broadly, we've covered five planets today. We've covered Sun, Mars, Saturn, Moon, and Venus. We still have Guru, Jupiter, that is, and Mercury, Rahu, and Ketu left, which we shall cover in the next episode. Ramana, anything you would want to raise or discuss now?
I want to understand that. So basically, each Rashi has has a planet that is an owner, has a planet that is in an exalted state, and a planet that is in debilitated state.
Broadly true. Broadly true. Not exactly true of all the 12 Rashis, right? Because there are only 9 planets. Okay. Right. The exalted, not all of them have exaltation, debilitation, but broadly true.
So basically, a given person, let's say in the conventional sense, is a libid, right?
Okay.
Is that conventional sense the same as the sense of Libra Rashi that you're using? And second question is that how does one identify whether a given planet, I mean, which planet, I mean, so is that a standard rule that for Libra, this XYZ planet is always exalted, ABC planet is always rehabilitate it, and another planet is owning it. Will that always be correct?
Okay. You asked me first about what if Libra Sun sign corresponds to this Sun sign. Okay. Ramana, first thing is, this is something which I would like to reiterate every time to anybody who listens to this. The Sun sign is a basic mechanism which shows us that the Sun was at this point in time in the cosmos when we were born. Okay. It is a Sun sign. The properties of the Rashi which I talk about, Ramana, they're the same properties of the Rashi. The archetype, if you will, of the Rashi. They're the same. Okay. But we are not determined by a Sun sign. I will talk about both of this because both of your questions are well related. Okay. Right. Conventional astrology, or what we do today, believes that we have a certain position, and that position determines how it is. So let's say someone born in August, okay, in an Indian system, August middle to September middle, will have Sun in Leo. This is the Indian system, people. For those who are aware of it, in the European or the Western system, I think it is from July mid end to August end. Okay, but in the Indian system, it's from August mid to September mid, Sun is in Leo. So they believe that the Sun is in Leo for everybody. Okay, for all the people born there, and they're all able to exercise that particular energy. What I'm saying is that we actually operate, we don't operate based on that alone. We are each born with the planets in a different category, in their psychological expression. Okay, so I'll try to elaborate more on this. It's like, so suppose, Ramana, let me take you as an example. If you're comfortable with that, I'll take you as an example now. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm saying that, so suppose you're someone, since I know you well, so you're someone who's bringing out your interactions with other people. You would like to be fair and in a sense of balance with other people, right? Okay. Your independence is not affected. For you, you're still able to maintain your independence. Okay. Right. So your independence is important to you in your interactions. You will like to be fair and balanced, but you'll also want to be independent.
Right.
Okay. So, and you're not likely to dismiss the other person as a fool or an ignorant person.
Right.
Okay. So now, you were born on October 22nd, right? Okay. So, in the Indian system, that means that the Sun is in Libra for your horoscope.
Okay. Right.
And as I told earlier, Libra is the planet of... The Sun is debilitated when it is in Libra. Okay. So, you should have had a debilitated planet in your horoscope. Okay. So, now when I asked you specifically about your interactions... Psychologically, however, you're able to maintain your state of independence, right? Okay.
Right,
while you're
right.
still able to be balanced with the other person. Okay. Your sense of independent identity does not cause you any turmoil, either to yours within yourself or in your interaction with other people, right?
Right.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that even though you are born with a debilitated Sun in the absolute position, right, of the cosmos, okay, you are able to be an independent person because psychologically your Sun is operating as a Sun in Aries.
Right.
Okay. So even though the expression, outward expression is you're someone who would like to socialize with other people, you will like to feel your uniqueness when you're interacting with other people, okay?
Right,
you would
right.
like to be recognized as a unique person when you're interacting with other people, okay? So the Sun is behaving in that manner as a Sun in Aries, but the context is different because you were born with a Sun in Libra. For example, since I'm born, I also operate at a Sun in Aries level. So I look at independent systems, okay? Because I was born in January 23rd, where the Sun is in Capricorn, which is all about systems. Okay. But I also look at it in terms of the independence it gives me. Okay. So, like you're looking at your independence and your identity, right? You're independent, but you're working in a context with other people. I'm also an independent person, but I look at it in terms of how I am independent in a systemic sense rather than an interactional sense. Okay, so I try to link it in the sense saying that the states, think of it as orbitals, if you will, right? Okay, if you remember orbitals, okay.
Yes, quantum, I mean like orbitals, physical chemistry you're talking of, right?
Chemistry, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so each energy level exists. Okay, a debilitated sun exists, a Leo sun exists, an Aries sun exists. Okay, but the absolute position changes all the time, right? Everybody is born in a different absolute position, which we have discussed before. Okay. Okay, and you also discussed, like, you were born with Sun in Libra, I was born with Sun in Capricorn. Okay, but the what I would call is, we are still operating at the same energy level with the Sun in Aries. Okay, so think of it. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from, is the inner experience of what you feel need not correspond to the... it's not a mechanical application of saying this planetary position indicates that you are this type of a person. Okay, we are different people. A lot of people, let's say, born in the same day as you or even the same minute or second as you might have Sun in Leo. You have a Sun in Aries, right? You're operating at an Aryan level. Okay.
And how would that be? As in, how does that? That would be dependent on the geography in which they are born?
No.
Is it? Or
no, that's the point. I don't know. Okay. That is a trickier point. So that comes to the fundamental, you're taking a certain mechanistic view, right? You're saying that the physical property of the cosmos outside is capable of representing my inner psychological reality. That's what you're saying, right? When you're talking of geography and all.
Right.
Okay.
But that, I think, is the premise of astrology anyway, right? That the order or the position of the cosmos is in some way... defining or predicating the internal traits of us, right?
Okay. So now I'm and saying that the form, I'm going to use a slightly duality notion here. I'm saying form and spirit. Okay. So the form remains the astrological form. So I'm born in a Sun in Capricorn, so I will deal with systems. You are born in a Sun in Libra, so you will deal with interactions, right? So that is a fixed part. Okay. So anybody born around you would be identified with their relationships. Okay. At least at an external level.
Around me in terms of time or in terms
around you in terms of time. Okay.
Right.
But your inner psychological reality will be different. Now, what is that? That's where I'm saying the philosophical construct comes into play, where it says that the philosophy, Indian things have all these different layers, right? So, like, I am bringing in the podcast theme of finding Turiya again. But Turiya is supposed to be this transcendent state which, surpasses everything, all the three other states. But we have a causal body, Karana Sharira in Sanskrit. Okay. Then we have the Sukshma Sharira or the subtle body. And we finally have the physical, the gross body. Okay. So, now, what we're saying is, it is the Karana Sharira which is more subtle. The innermost layer is more subtle, it has more variations, etc., which we don't know how to measure yet, okay, which we haven't gotten to yet. And even astrology as a science or whatever, or even philosophy, metaphysics, etc., all these are part of the Sukshma Sharira, the subtle body. Okay, what we are doing is we are trying to understand inner psychological reality, right? Even that is considered to be only the Sukshma Sharira. It is not, there is supposed to be a layer which is deeper, which is called the Karana Sharira. Okay. So, essentially, if you were to look at it, we are saying that spirit can influence our psychological working. Okay. I'm saying that, broadly, Indian philosophy also would say that the psychological spirit is infused with the spirit. Okay. Psychological working is infused with spirit or something which we don't quite understand yet. Okay. It need not be just a biochemical interaction. So we are saying that there could be outside inside view, which is all the chemicals we take. Okay, for example, we could regulate. We could be just a set of chemicals and brain react molecules, etc. Okay, we could be that, but there is something within which also works, which is also interacting with us, which we don't quite understand yet.
Right.
Okay, and so that which works within us, which we don't quite understand yet, that is coming out. So when you ask somebody of the other person, might be very contemptuous in relationships also, because a Leo can't do that. Okay, if they're operating at a Sun Leo level. Okay, so it is a clear question of we need to understand each person in their context. Okay, I think there's a lot of cases to be drawn. Ramanash, any more questions?
No, I think this is quite good for this today's episode.
Okay. Thanks a lot, everyone, for listening to us. Any queries, please get back to us at anirudh.n@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback.